In 1912, Solomon came to the United States. His family settled in Boston, Massachusetts, one of the primary sites for Jewish immigrants, though not the main one, a distinction held by New York City. He worked a variety of odd jobs and then made his way to selling ice. "Everybody bought ice," he later bragged to his grandchildren in a recorded conversation between bites of corned beef, chicken, and bread rolls. He made money. But it was too much hard work to do it by himself, so he turned it into a business. In time, he started selling coal, too. He soon brought his parents, Benjamin and Ida, over to the United States, though not his brother and sister, who died back in Koritz in Solomon's native Yiddish, which was then part of the Russian Empire and is now in Ukraine. Years later, when his children asked him about the place he was born, Solomon replied, "If it had been any good, we would not have left." He would eventually marry Fanny Chasen, whom he met in a grocery store trying to sell her coal. Fanny was also originally from the Russian Empire. She was a stocky woman, like a tomato, Solomon recalled, and a natural-born neighborhood busybody. They had left the intense and violent anti-Semitism of the Russian Empire and would now, make a life for themselves in America, just like thousands of Jews had before them. Solomon Tamkin was my father's grandfather. What he could not possibly have known when he arrived as a teenager was that he was entering at the end of an era. My great-grandfather came to this country toward the end of a half-century that saw a dramatic increase in Jewish immigration to the United States. It was a half-century that changed both the composition of American Jewry and other Americans' reactions and responses to it. The first Jews to come to the United States, back in the country's earliest days, were majority Sephardic, originally from the Iberian Peninsula, but from there traveled to southeastern Europe, the Levant, and North Africa, among other places. It should be noted, though, that some consider Sephardim based on not ethno-linguistic categories, but an approach to Torah informed by Spanish scholars and the Spanish liturgy. Sephardic settlers came to New Amsterdam from Brazil in 1654. But Sephardim were shortly thereafter joined by Ashkenazic Jews, who originated in the Germanic lands. Many then moved to Eastern Europe and what was then the Russian Empire. By 1730, there were more Ashkenazic than Sephardic Jews in what would be the United States, though early synagogues still followed Sephardic rituals and customs. Jewish congregations older than this country are still alive and at work today. In the late summer of 2021, while visiting Savannah, Georgia, I stopped by the synagogue of Congregation Mikveh Israel. The congregation dates back to 1733, and its first synagogue was built in 1820. When I was there, I was greeted by a sign on the door instructing bat mitzvah guests to use a side entrance. Conversely, a Reform synagogue in Charleston, South Carolina, first built for a congregation in 1840, now has in front of it a plaque that acknowledges that its construction was overseen by a Jewish builder who used slave labor. Under the Naturalization Act of 1790, only free white persons could become citizens of the United States. Rights and privileges, including the privilege to have one's political place in the country fully recognized, were tied to whiteness. In the beginning of this country's history, Jews were a relatively small number of people who lived among white Christian America, who could own enslaved people and were not themselves at risk of being enslaved, to put it in the pre-Civil War context, and just happened to worship differently. In fact, Judah P. Benjamin, who was born to Sephardic Jewish parents in St. Croix and raised in South Carolina, became a rich slave owner, a senator from Louisiana, and eventually the Confederacy's Attorney General and Secretary of State, making him the first Jewish person to rise to a cabinet position in North America. The first Jewish person to hold a cabinet position on this continent, in other words, had his position among those who wanted to keep slavery, not among those trying to end it.